Well, if you are better, if you're a small business that's better, you've responsibly get noticed. So, and I would argue that marketing is an act of kindness, because if the customer can't discover you, they're going to go with their default awareness, Amazon, and again, yet be compromised. So this is a rallying cry for small business to step up and be seen. We all have that responsibility. Don't do what your contemporaries and competition is doing. Do different. Something is deemed as irrelevant, we never pay attention to it again. When everyone is marketing a certain way to your prospect, and the prospect, the second they say, oh, this marketing is not for me, it doesn't have to be your marketing, any of your contemporaries' marketing, any of your competitors. If they say, this isn't relevant for me, their mind becomes instantly habituated. It says, if you see this, ignore this. One technique is you can take ideas from other industries. I call it R&D, rip off and duplicate.
Hello and welcome to the Qualified Tutor Podcast, the podcast that brings you the latest in the world of tutoring, edtech, and education, and hopefully inspires in you the big change that each and every one of us is capable of. Qualified Tutor is an industry-leading tutor training organization and online tutoring community for thousands of tutors around the world. This podcast is the voice of this community, where we aim to hear from tutors, teachers, entrepreneurs, coaches, business experts, students, tutorpreneurs, and more from the world of tutoring about what inspires them every day, how they can help tutors like you, and what they've learned about tutoring along the way. The question is, what will you learn today? So, hello and welcome to the Qualified Tutor Podcast. My name is Ludo Miller. I am the host of this podcast, and a huge welcome today to Mike Michalowicz, three-time guest on this podcast, which is a new record. Congratulations, Mike. But the bigger news really is that this is our 99th podcast episode. So, we are getting pretty close to the big number. And in order to get you there, we can't think of a better guest today. As I said, Mike's been on three times before, lending his wisdom on the areas of small business, of leadership, of entrepreneurship, of how to stand out from the crowd in order to grow your business. Mike is the author of a hugely valuable series of books on leadership, small business, and marketing. As I've just said, you can find the links to those books in the show notes below. And to be honest, it's scarily impressive, Mike's appetite for serving entrepreneurial leaders all over the world. And this does not appear to be slowing down. His latest book, Get Different, stands out from the rest, literally. And you'll find out a little bit more about that in over the course of the next 25 minutes or so. Better is not better, different is better, is a phrase we've heard a good deal of late, not least because Mike's business partner, Justin Wise, spoke about this exact topic at the Love Tutoring Festival just 2 weeks ago. So we're going to dive right into this conversation because Mike needs really no further introduction. His expertise and insight really speak for themselves. So I wish you a very pleasant next 25 minutes of listening to Mike Michalowicz.
So Mike.
Yes.
We're going to dive right in. I'm not sure I know anyone in the business better than you at just getting straight in and providing real advice and insight from the first minute. So you've appeared on this podcast a couple of times before.
Yeah.
I've asked you once, perhaps twice, what is your why? But I want to change that question a little bit. I want to switch it up to keep things new, to keep things fresh. How has your why changed since you last joined us on this podcast? What's changed for you?
Great question. So while my tagline or phrase is eradicate entrepreneurial poverty, I think what's changed since we last spoke is how I'm serving that. I thought, or I believed, it had to be something I had to do by myself. Like, I have to write more and more books. What's changed in recent months is my publisher, which is Penguin Books, came to me and said, hey, would you be willing to help other authors on this? And so we are in the process of partnering with my first fellow author colleague. and we're going to tackle this together. She's on a slightly different mission, but it's going to help eradicate entrepreneurial poverty. And what clicked in my head was, oh, instead of trying to write 25 or 30 books in my lifetime, now it could be 30,000 books if there's a great consortium. So I'm matching up with what I believe to be extraordinary authors on an extraordinary mission, and we're doing this as a team, locked arm in arm.
Yeah. And aside from the authorship stuff, what else is going on? What else is new? What are you seeing in the January, February 2022?
Yeah, it's okay. So in business, I'm seeing we're off to a pretty good start. There's this, still this tentative feeling like, is another shoe going to drop? And now what's after Omicron? Is it Upsilon? Like what's the next version of this virus? But that being said, it's been around so long now. There's this normal, there's this expectation that this may be around forever, or at least there's an expectation that we're going to do business in a new way. So customers, I see, are behaving differently. And so that is causing businesses to respond in kind. There's one restaurant right down the street from us that was always a great sit-down restaurant. They haven't reopened. They've keep doing takeout, but they haven't reopened the restaurant. You can't sit down. And they're doing more business than ever before. And they say customers just love it. Just pick the food up. There's another restaurant that put in a true drive-through. So the fast food chains where you can drive your car up and they put it in the window. There's one restaurant, they did the exact same thing. They built out a drive-through, and just like you're going to the bank, you just put in your credit card, you pay, and back comes this tray of your food. So people are adjusting to this new model and making their businesses more accessible for a transient customer, someone that doesn't want to stay static in one place.
Yeah. Well, that's the perfect thread to start with then, Mike, because good. Your most recent book, Get Different, written by you, a kind of life's work of what it means to differentiate yourself as a marketer, as an online marketer.
Yes.
The pandemic, I'm sure you've talked about this before, but the pandemic has forced us, as you've just said, to change.
Yeah.
Sit in restaurants have to do take-in. Face-to-face tutors have to move online. Everyone's had to change. So how have the parameters of Get Different changed? How has being different got harder, got easier?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's changed in how hard or easy it is to do, but it's more necessary than ever before. So what I realized is there's so many small businesses that are struggling to get noticed. They've changed, but the world doesn't see the change. They're offering new services, but no one knows. And there's so many more startups. We're at the fastest startup rate ever. And I think it's people that either need to make money and this is the only option they have. I think in more cases, it's people that have left a job. They said, why am I going to serve another business? Why not own my own? The thing is, we're saturated with business. There's a few big names that dominate any space. So a classic example, maybe it's abused too much, but Amazon, everyone knows what Amazon is. It's the Walmart online, and they've crushed Walmart. But there's all these hundreds of thousands of small businesses that offer a component like Amazon, but they offer it better. They get better quality of service. They respond faster. They just care more. Is better. Well, if you are better, if you're a small business that's better, you've responsibly get noticed. So, and I would argue that marketing is an act of kindness, because if the customer can't discover you, they're going to go with their default awareness, Amazon, and again, yet be compromised. So this is a rallying cry for small business to step up and be seen. To do it, it's simple, but it doesn't mean it's easy, is you have to break the pattern of the common noise. I'll give an example in marketing. I got an email that led off with, "Hey friend," and this was like 5-6 years ago or something. I can't remember, but I remember the very first time I got a "Hey friend" email, and it struck me like, who writes to me this way? Like, which friend of this is this? And they don't even call me by my first name. That's so flattering. And I started to read through it, and I was like, oh, this is like the smarmy, cheesy marketing goes into the spam box. And then the next "Hey friend" I got, spam box. And I've never read the hundreds, probably thousands of "Hey friend" emails I've gotten, because my mind has become, it's called habituated to it. Something is deemed as irrelevant. We never pay attention to it again. When everyone is marketing a certain way to your prospect, and the prospect, the second they say, oh, this marketing is not for me, it doesn't have to be your marketing, any of your contemporaries' marketing, any of your competitors, If they say, this isn't relevant for me, their mind becomes instantly habituated. It says, if you see this, ignore this. Our minds are actually extraordinarily efficient at ignoring things. That's probably the biggest strength we have, is retaining focus by ignoring 99.9% of the stimuli out there. But the problem to us as we try to expose our business, which is better than the competition, is if we market the same way, we're invisible. And even though, you know, everyone else is doing Facebook ads, I need to do Facebook ads. I'll put thousands and thousands of dollars into it. It's not working because it has been habituated. What we need to do, and what I teach in the book, is to break the pattern. The real simple solution is this. Whatever the best practice is in marketing, don't do the best practice. In fact, try to do the opposite. Try to spin it up. I'll give you one example. I noticed that my contemporaries in authorship all market basically the same way. They write a book, great books. They then do an email blast to their list and say, here's my book. It's a black text email against a white background. Sometimes they throw a video in for flair. And it's like, okay, that is the standard. That is the lesson in what not to do in marketing. So I looked at that and said, what's the reverse of it? So one technique is you take what exists and you flip it. Well, black text, the opposite of black is white. So I said, okay, I'll put white text against a white background. I'm like, oh, you can't read that. That's invisible. And I'm like, oh, it's invisible. I'll send out the first ever invisible ink email. So I sent out an email. The subject line in black did say, this is the first ever invisible ink email. Click and highlight to see the message. And what you do is with the mouse, if you highlight, it turns blue. You can read the text. And it then revealed about my new book introduction, Get Different, how different is so important. And that email got over double the click-through rate. It was my best performing email of all time because it was different. We all have that responsibility. Don't do what your contemporaries and competition's doing. Do different.
Mike, you have to keep going on this. My next question was going to be, how do you personally stay different? Because you talk about getting different so much to so many people, and you speak to so many industries. And I want to get you onto the podcast so we learn something that people couldn't learn, because they don't get you on the podcast and they don't listen to this podcast. So you've just said one story, but can
I got a ton. We can go on and on. So I'll give you a couple rapid examples. Over my right shoulder here is a tree, if you're watching the video, of a bookcase. What I did, and this is just for my own business, I look at all my contemporaries and say, oh, authors, when they do video, they display their books on a bookshelf. I said, the common standard is a standard bookshelf with a common book display. I said, that's the one thing I can't do. So I started testing, and that's another lesson you learn in getting different. It's not like you're going to hit out of the ballpark every single time. In fact, usually your first few iterations are going to have struggles and things that don't work. We're not doing marketing plans, commitments. We're doing marketing experiments, learning. So I started to experiment. I said, what if I change the bookshelf around? And that's when I started noticing, when I was doing webinars in the chat, someone would say, oh, that's a really wild looking background you have. Oh, that's a really interesting thing. Then I started doing searches and like, what's the most interesting bookshelf? And I found this tree. I'm like, oh, tree of knowledge. I can put my books in it. And sure enough, I bought a small scale of this one. Now this is the full, that's a wood tree that's been installed. It's over, it's about 3 meters tall. When I did it, I noticed with the tree that people would put in the chat, oh my gosh, what is that? Oh, this guy writes other books and there's conversation. I'm like, okay, we've hit it. And that's when I did the tree. I'll give you another example. Not in my industry, but gyms. I'm walking down the street here. I'm in a small town in New Jersey. It's called Boonton. It's a little colonial type of town. So it was built in the late 1700s, early 1800s. And so there's a lot of history here. All the buildings have retail stores on the first floor. So small retail stores, but retail business has been squashed, unfortunately, and hopefully will come back by getting different. But what's replaced some of these stores are fitness studios. So you walk by these stores and they have these glass fronts, and in the windows, they have the before and after pictures. There's, in fact, three fitness studios all adjacent to each other on one block over here. And it's all before and after. That's the common noise. Schlubby person turns into this ripped person. But no one looks at it because we've all seen the before and afters. I went to all these gyms, all three of them. I said, hey, I can help you stand out. Are you willing? I'm writing a book about this. I'll tell you the technique if you're willing to do it. All of them rejected me. And there's a lesson in that. We have this fear, goes back to our reptilian mind, this fear of rejection, that if we do something different, we'll be laughed at or ridiculed. And it almost gives this emotion of death. Like, if I do this, I will die. And therefore, almost everyone rejects different, which is a great opportunity that if you do it, your competition is unlikely to replicate it. But I did find one gym in Salt Lake City, and I said, here's my idea. Instead of the before and after pictures, let's get mirrors from a fun house. One technique is you can take ideas from other industries. I call it R&D, rip off and duplicate. So from this industry, we took these funhouse mirrors that make you look like an alien or ET or something. And we got one mirror that made you look really kind of squat and flattened you out, made you look real chubby. And on that mirror, we put the word before on it. The other mirror makes you look tall, lean, ripped. We put the words after on it. And we put it in their window. Now, when you're walking down the street, you pass by this gym and you're like, oh my God, look at me. You're seeing pictures of yourselves. We saw people jumping back and forth and showing their own before and afters. And next to it was a sign. It said, we just transformed you in mirrors. Let's transform you in real life. Walk inside. And their foot traffic more than quadrupled from doing this. It broke the common noise. That's the common lesson you hear over and over and over again.
I can't believe the similarities that this has to education and this fear of doing things in education differently. And perhaps, Mike, I'm contractually obliged to bring it back to education.
You have to be, yeah.
But, you know, we're stuck in our same processes and it takes too long to change because school years have to be planned years ahead. So, you know, social changes don't come into the education system for 5-10 years after. There has to be a mindset shift in education. And I'm really just saying that out loud. It's something I've been thinking a lot and you're making me think that. Yeah. You're making me see that. And if possible, Mike, we've got about 10 minutes to go here. I don't want to leave this conversation without talking about this. You've been doing some work recently, I'm sure for a very, very long time, but recently it's kind of come to myself and my colleague Julia Silver's attention. You might have seen Mike on Google reviews. Julia's 7-year-old, 12-year-old, either her 7 or her 12-year-old daughter left a review of your book about...
I love it.
It's probably shot right to the top of the rankings. It's clearly one of your passion projects, long time.
Yes.
Mike, can you tell us a bit more about how financial education for kids is
so important.
We can't miss it.
So important. Yeah. So I wrote a book called My Money Bunnies, and I was looking to serve kids between 5, maybe up to 10 years old. And what I noticed is what I hear people say is there's no financial education out there for children. And I actually disagree with that. I think there's too much, too confusing. There's no basic principles that we can really anchor into, or there's very few. So a child is often introduced to finances at some point in their life, and it's just this kind of watershed effect, or they learn through the burn. Like, you spend all your money, sorry, kiddo, learn from that. So I think that's an ineffective way, or not the most effective way of educating children. I wrote My Money Bunnies specifically to give kids a way to show how they can earn money on their own, not be granted and entitled money, but earn it, because that's a key lesson, but then how to manage it. And what I wanted to do was get to the core essence of good financial management. I find that there's basically three driving core elements in financial management and just how humanity is wired. We want things now. We want big things and in the future, and we want to be able to be recognized for our contribution to society. That's generally three critical components of financial management. So My Money Bunnies is a 3-jar system. They're each made up as bunnies. And as a child has income, they divide the money up. A small portion goes to what we call the anytime bunny. And the anytime bunny is anytime you have some desire, you want a lollipop or something, if you have the money in that jar, this jar is there to serve it. And it quenches that thirst for, I want something now, which isn't just for children. Like, everyone has that. Like, I have that all the time. Like, oh, I'd love to have that now. If the jar supports it, it can support it. The second jar, which is slightly bigger, is the one-time bunny. One time, I want to have so-and-so. And this is usually the big wish. And it may not be stuff all the time, but I oriented it toward things. As in the book, I wrote about this girl who wants an art supply kit, and it's expensive, and she's saving for that. And then once that jar is full enough, she can go and acquire that dream of hers. That teaches the discipline of saving now for the future, a critical discipline. And the biggest jar is actually about contribution. And the stories are coming back. It seems that the children love this the most because honestly, the biggest reward in life I found is when we can give without sacrificing ourselves, without us feeling pain, but we can just give because we've prepared for it. It's such a reward. It's so much joy. So this jar is for giving to others and however they define it. Maybe their family is in need and they can be contributors to their family, or maybe it's a friend they run into, or maybe it's a mission that they're looking to satisfy. And that's called the sometimes bunny. Sometimes in life, you run into circumstances where people are in need and you can be a contributor to that.
So what are you hoping for this book to achieve, the ideas in this book and the book itself to achieve? What were your plans for it?
Yeah, well, my intentions for it is that children, as many children as possible, will discover a system that they link into for life. That this isn't just something that you're going to do as a kid. That for the rest of your life, you're going to have a basic principle. And maybe you won't use money bunnies at a certain point. They'll become
tucked under the arm when they head off.
Right, could you imagine? Some dude, 40 years old, is like, dude, here's my money bunny.
Mom shouting behind them as they run off to college.
Yeah, exactly. But they'll have a basic principle that they can deploy in different ways. Maybe it's through bank accounts, and hopefully it is, or some other savings mechanism. But I want them to become aware of a system, and I want them to feel the joy of that experience, that it's not a discipline that's painful. It's an easy discipline that's joyful. That's my hope for this book.
Yeah. So kind of, I wonder how that ties into how can educators make use of not necessarily just money bunnies, but how can educators tie financial education, which is something that they need to practice and learn and experience in their own lives, how can they tie that into educating kids? How does that transfer?
Yeah, well, I think you just defined it, is that we who teach need to live by it. I remember I was walking through a university with a friend of mine going to do a presentation, and we were walking by different classrooms, and he pointed in to the first classroom and said, oh, there's the best student. And I didn't pay much mind to it. The second room we walked by, he said, oh, there's the best student. By the third time, I was like, what do you mean, who's the best student? Who are you pointing at? And I assumed it was the student up front. It was the one taking the most notes. He said, no, it's the teacher. He goes, the teacher's always the best student because they have to apply the discipline. It's like, oh my gosh, to teach we must do. So I invite people to do your own version of My Money Bunnies, and maybe you make them into the money monsters or something else, but get those jars and just start dividing it up and see how you transform. Education for me isn't just the procedure, the rote process, it's the emotion around it. And when you can relate to the emotion, when you can connect and say, you know how I felt, and I understand how you feel. That is when you become, I think, an elite educator, is when you can connect with the experience emotionally and understand it viscerally because you've lived it. So I definitely invite to do it. Other people do it. I do it. Now, I do it with bank accounts, but my home has many money bunnies, bank accounts, and the money gets divided up. Every single week we go and we look at the income we had and we divide it up. And I've been doing this religiously now for 15 years. And when I meet someone, they're telling me they're doing the system and they're like, I'm terrified and I'm a little nervous if this is going to work and I don't know how to do it. I'm a little bit embarrassed. I get it because I went through all of those emotional transitions. And that way I can connect and be a better educator to them.
And on that note of making yourself a better person, objectives, goals, visions. Mike, we're going to end this conversation here because I know that you need to head off in a second. We're going to end this conversation by asking you, we spoke to you in, I think, November 2020 first, and then again, you joined us in March 2021.
Yeah.
It's now February 2022. We may not be able to speak to you again until 2023.
I guess that's the rule, right?
that's the way it is. We got lucky between November and March last time. But now we're on a yearly basis. What does 2022 hold for you, Mike?
Well, for me, I'm staying the course. So there's no major transformations in what I'm doing, but there is a lot of consistency, a lot of application. By 2022, I have a new book releasing this year, this summer. It's a revised and expanded version of Clockwork. 2022, I'm investigating how to get What inspires teams to work collectively, work teams, any kind of team? What inspires them to drive to their highest personal levels? And I've been doing research about around this for quite a few years, and we've been testing it. We have little guinea pigs, if you will, of businesses out there deploying stuff. We think I have discovered something that's really different and interesting and compelling, but also something that's a truism from eons before. That's going to come out in 2022. And I'm just going to stay the course. Every year, I hope to be putting out at least one more book that will serve entrepreneurs and freelancers and educators and everyone that needs a book on those type of subjects.
So damn exciting. My mind immediately went to the team of a tutor and a student. I'm sure that'll be part of...
It's a massive team, right? Yeah. It's such an important team.
Yeah. So you've got two places to go, dear listeners. You've got gogetdifferent.com to pick up a copy of Mike's book, Get Different, How to Stand Out in Marketing. That's what that book's about, how to stand out. And then you've also got mymoneybunnies.com, which is a website you can head to pick up Mike's book on financial education for kids, Whisper It Quietly, and for adults too. I think that's what we've heard. Mike, it's so captivating listening to you. You guys, yourself and Justin Wise, your business partner, are really the best in the business at what you're doing and unpacking the meaning of the word marketing and showing small business owners how to do it, how to take away that fear, how to eradicate entrepreneurial poverty. So we are truly lucky to have you. I've been looking forward to this all day, all week. So
thank you for those kind words. Thank I appreciate you, Ludov. Thank you so much.
Have a great day. See you,
too, brother.
See you in 2023.
See you in a year.
See you in a year. Cheerio, Mike.
Cheerio.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Qualified Tutor Podcast. Whether you're a regular listener of this podcast or you've just stumbled across it, join the Qualified Tutor podcast group within the Qualified Tutor community to stay up to date with our latest news, offers, workshops, and of course, simply to meet other tutors like you. Whatever your level as a tutor, our training courses will be the next step in your professional development. Visit qualifiedtutor.org/training to find out more about our CPD accredited and Ofqual recognized courses, the first of their kind in the tutoring industry. Your student deserves the best tutor possible. Make that happen today by joining Qualified Tutor.